Ooh, have you been watching the Karen Reith? That's good.
No, the girl at the gym actually was just talking about that today, and she said I would like it, and I was like, I do need to watch it because it's on HBO Max. Where are you watching it? On what platform?
I think it's on
Yeah,
Max.
okay. Because I was like, I
Yeah, I
like
do
saved
watch
it on
it.
my phone because I was like, I need to remember that because I love me some crime.
Well, so what, why it's like blowing up right now? We can talk about this.
Yeah, because the case is actively going
Actually,
right now.
no, yeah, so that's what it is. It's cases going on right now. So in the documentary, it was a hung jury.
Yeah.
So then now this case is currently
Yeah,
active,
so it's
right? So it's
closure
like
to the
kind of like,
documentary. Like, yeah.
yeah, which 1000% she's guilty.
I haven't looked into it because apparently she's inebriated. So then it's like, and she doesn't remember. Is that like the vibe? How she's presenting herself is like, she has no idea what happened.
So what I think it is no, she says she didn't do it, but what I think happened was this girl, by the way, this Karen Reed girl is the girl that killed the Boston cop, her boyfriend. And she's on trial, and the scenario is basically she's crazy, by the way. She got a crazy personality. Like when you see her, you're like, she's guilty, right? She's wild. So, anyways, they went out night drinking. She went, they were like, okay, let's go to a friend's house after. They went to the friend's house. And then she says she waited in the car and he went to go knock on the door because it kind of looked like, okay, you invited us over, but it doesn't look like you guys were here or like having a party. So she was like, just go check. So he checked. She said she saw him go inside. She got upset and was calling him, like, what are you doing? You left me out here. You didn't come and tell me, like, whatever. Which, in my head, if that was true, if I ever didn't come back out, I would have just
I
gone
know,
inside
same. That's
and,
what
like,
I
oh,
was
it's.
thinking. Like, oh, maybe he's like caught in conversation. I'm just gonna go inside.
So, anyways, she's like, I called him. I got pissed. I left messages. So then I just left. So she left. She left back home, left him in the dust. So her thing is, she left him inside. That was the last time she saw him. So then she was calling him like 1,000 times. And when that happens, that person's guilty and they're trying to cover up that they're searching for them.
Interesting.
So she calls him like 1,000 times. And she is like, I'm gonna go find him. So 3 or 4 in the morning, she calls the people she was with and is like, I haven't seen him. We need to go back to the house and find him. And so these girls are like, I'm sure he's fine, whatever, but okay, we'll go with you. So she picked them up and then they go back and immediately, by the way, it's a snowstorm and it's pitch black, right? It's like 4 or 5 in the morning. And they're driving and she's in the back and she's like, he's there. Just drive past, stop. And it's way far off, like in the side corner, and he's under snow.
What?
And it's like a snowstorm. And the friends were like, you could not see him. Like, there's no, like, she had to know where he
Oh,
was.
interesting. I see.
Yeah. So the whole idea is that she got upset. She like backed up into him, basically kind of like ran him over, and he was passed out in the snow and he just
Now he's
died.
covered in snow. He's a snowdrift on the road.
Yeah. So when she's leaving the house to go back to the house, she like backed directly into his car.
Ooh.
And she didn't even try to like turn. So the idea is that that was her excuse of why the taillight was broken, was because
Oh,
she
okay.
backed into the car. But she literally, it's one where you have to go out of the driveway and you have to completely turn to go out.
Yes.
Like if you're going out of mine. And she just went straight back and fell right into it.
She
And
thought
so
she
they
was covering
say,
herself up pretty good.
they thought so, but they say they went back and there's no broken taillight there.
Oh, so she didn't even do a good job with her cover up.
But she says they took the taillight and then they planted it in the grass
Oh.
by this
Dang.
guy. Because
Okay. I have to go watch this
they
then.
ended up finding it like 12 hours later, but that's also because it was snowing. So things were unveiling as snow melting, as they were clearing snow out, all that kind of stuff. Some of the stuff is fishy. I do think some people like kind of finagled things to make sure she was found guilty. But this girl's crazy. She's crazy.
If you guys don't know this about us, Heather and I are here for some juicy crime documentaries and a whodunit. So this is right up our alley. And I love that. This is the thing about Me Too. I don't know if you're the same way. I love a crime documentary that has an ending. Like, this took place in 2022, but we got an update and then they type in so-and-so was found guilty and here they are, you know, life in prison. And it's just like, yes. So I love that now we have the case ongoing, so we get a little bit of that closure.
Like, literally crime.
Yeah, I saw an update an hour ago. So I love that with all the storytelling and everything going on, and then now we have closure, or like ongoing closure. So it's a good one. Live action crime documentary.
It's funny because in the documentary, there's like people outside of the like courthouse and you're like, and they're with chairs and tents.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm like, these people need to give lives.
Yeah.
Like, these people have no
lives. Dang. I want to be that invested.
So she has supporters that like swear she's not guilty.
Okay. And they're just like waiting, but they can't even go in there and be a character witness or anything. So they're just thinking that they're helping her case by sleeping outside.
I don't know. I literally don't know. And then there's like what's his name? Like leading this movement.
Oh, so interesting.
It's very interesting.
All right.
But I promise when you see her person, she just, you know how you can see somebody and they're crazy?
Yeah.
So I don't think she didn't go out that night. I don't think like trying to murder this guy. Like, that's not what I think. I think that she's crazy. She was drunk.
Yeah.
She got pissed. She ran him over. And then what happened was she woke up in the middle of the night being like, you know how you have like flashbacks?
And did that happen?
And she had this flashback. Oh my God, I hit him.
And I need to go fix
like,
this.
Like, we need to go back. Yeah. And I need to go back. So that's what I think. I don't think it was like, it's intentional. Like, she had like first degree murder. This is with deep intention. Yeah. I don't think so. I think she's definitely, with all these years of the case, she's definitely, I feel like, remembered everything by now. But she can, in her mind, justify, I didn't mean to do it, so I'm going to fight for myself. Yeah. I won't admit it, because it's not like I purposely did
it. Of course, You said it wasn't premeditated. So at least she has that for herself.
They just need to go for like a lower manslaughter or something, you know, and then get him for whatever it is, 15 years or what it's that, because he had kids.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I need to watch that. I didn't know all the details.
I think his wife died.
That's sad.
I think his wife
now
died.
Now even worse.
And so he took... Oh, no. This is what it is. No, it's even worse for the kids, honestly. His wife and his brother died. Though his kids were their kids.
Okay.
But his wife and brother died. So he took on the kids and he was their dad. And then he died. I know.
Now the crime documentary just turned sad.
Yeah. So these... Like, we need to get justice for those kids. That's what we need to... Go away. But she's guilty. So we need to, next week, you need to tell us.
Yeah. We'll circle back. And also, maybe we'll see where the case goes, too. Because then we'll have answers on what happened with her.
I definitely think that the jury, it's, you know how juries sometimes they meet for an hour and they're like, guilty, not guilty. I think this is one that people are very torn on. So the jury will
deliberate for quite some time, probably.
It might be a hung jury again.
Interesting.
Because it's that polarizing.
Yeah. I could see that.
She just needs to go to jail. She's
You're like,
psycho.
Let me in that jury.
She's crazy. Okay. Anyways, so what I wanted to talk to you today about was, what do you think about spouses talking poorly about their spouse to other people?
Okay.
Like airing the dirty laundry.
With like a group of friends
with
or whatever.
The friend or the family member, like the mom.
Ooh.
Or how do you feel about people just, not just like, I'm going through something big, right? Like, okay, my husband cheated on me. I'm trying to navigate this, whatever. I'm talking about like, can you believe? Yeah.
Or it just feels like every week they're almost just crap talking their spouse every week. It's not the little thing. Yes. Like you said, it's not something where it's like, this is devastating. I need someone to talk to about this. Like, my life's about to change. I need to tell people. The naggy, like nitpicking and then gossiping with friends about that, I think, is not healthy for a marriage at all.
Same.
Like, especially who you talk to too, like your pillow chat and like what you have, like those, that time with your partner to then trickle over to like a friend circle. I think not everyone has good intentions and that could be totally twisted. And then also I think too, like for instance, if, you know, my husband was doing stuff that annoyed me and I gossiped with my mom about that every week, my mom, how is she going to have a healthy quality relationship with her son-in-law if I'm constantly just like, these are the annoying things he does, this is really awful, XYZ. So I just think it's there's a limited amount of what you should be sharing healthily with your friends and family members about your spouse.
I agree. And I think even more importantly, don't do it to your mom. Because it's not only, even with your friends, like this story is coming from only your perspective.
Of course, yeah. So now you're...
So it's going to be
twist everyone's perspective, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you are, at the end of the day, you are convincing them that what they did was wrong. It's going to be from your perspective, right? You're wanting them to side with you at the end
of
the day.
Yeah.
You don't tell somebody an argument or something that bothered you for them to be, well, he was right.
Against you. Yeah.
Yeah. So... You're going to have a case,
of course,
basically.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, then you're like, there's not many times. Obviously, like, you do talk also good about your spouse.
Of course,
most
people.
I feel like you don't naturally, well, Alvaro came home and did the dishes randomly.
Yeah. Just,
you know,
like, we don't.
Yeah, things.
Just think of, like, when we do restaurant reviews, right? Like, if people aren't writing the positive things about the restaurant experience that they had, they're writing the negative. So that's the same what it's going to be when you're going to talk ill about a spouse.
For sure. So then you build up this, like, rapport of, like, wow, this guy's trash.
Yeah. Why are you married to him?
He ever treat you nice? So I think it's so poor. But do you think that when people talk negatively, because we always hear this thing that's like, marriage is so hard. Just how people depict marriage in general, or even parenting.
Yeah.
When they're like, parenting is so hard. And it's like, yes, it is. But don't get me wrong. Well, maybe we're not one to talk to because we're like, we need school all year.
Where can my kids go right now?
Do you have my daycare? But truly, being a parent is like, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
No, it's so, like, rewarding. Even with the highs and lows.
It's so rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look at all the time when the kids are on the couch. And I'm sure you do the same thing. Where you just look at their face and you're like, I miss you.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you're mine. Yeah. Like, you're adorable. Yeah. Like, look at you sitting
there. You drive me so nuts that I love you so much that I just want to squeeze your little head.
Yeah. So do you think that this, like, that's one of my pet peeves is when people are just like, marriage is so hard, because I really don't find marriage to be hard.
No, and I think it sucks because I feel like when people say that, it does make marriage seem so bad. Like, how they say that. And I'm like, marriage is because hard is not a good word at all. Like, marriage is amazing and beautiful, and it's a partnership between two people. So I'm like, is it hard because somebody's in the season of struggle where they're using that maybe one pinpoint of, like, an argument between them and saying, like, this is hard, so therefore all of marriage is hard. So that's why I don't really like that. Like, I don't like when we talk negatively about such a big and beautiful thing. Because there are low points in marriage, in any relationship, and that's normal. So I just feel like, is it people who are getting stuck here and not, you know, I don't feel like it's accurate. It's not fair to put that on a marriage.
And if friendships go through the same thing, and, like, you never hear, like, friendship's so hard.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just like, why do we feel so comfortable to talk negatively about marriage when it's all the same? I would never say, I don't know, like, my relationship with my kids is hard. Like, no, it's all the same. So I just feel like maybe we need to put a little bit more effort in upping it, like, positive, you know, we had a hard day.
Like,
but
you get to live with your best friend.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're going to work to make it better on whatever this argument was or whatever this low was for us, because that was a mistake. Here we are. We're moving past it. And it's not hard. I don't know. It's very tricky.
And also, the thing is that I feel like when you have an argument, you always come out of it feeling so much better.
Yeah, I
do. Once you've settled it, I feel like you are a stronger couple.
Yes, because you've worked through that. Like, whatever the issue was, whoever was to blame, like, there was work to be done to correct whatever it was.
And I find that you're more in love with that person. It sounds very backwards, but I just find you're more in love. And I think as years go on, like, I don't think our marriage has ever been hard ever. I would never use that word because Albert and I get along, like, pretty well. We don't really have arguments that often. Like, and even with our arguments, like, they're disagreements, or maybe we don't see eye to eye.
Yeah.
But, like, they're so few and far between.
Yeah.
And I think maybe when we're younger, maybe we had a little bit more, like tit for tat type things.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, because I think we were the same way, where it's like, you're almost a little bit more, like, impulsive and immature, and you don't know what's important yet.
once again, that attitude.
Like, no, I did do the dishes. Like, you suck. And it just is because we're young and immature and we don't know that the world is bigger than that. And that's why I think now we're like grown-ups and we can like rationalize. That's not a thing. We're not worried about that. I love this guy, regardless of the dishwasher getting unloaded or not. We're not having a fight about that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're coming up on our 13th year, and I don't think that 13th year, such a good movie. But it's, I feel like we've grown so much. We really don't do these like silly, dumb arguments. And not to like hype myself up, but I'm also not like a silly arguments kind of girl. And I've kind of taught Alvaro to be like that. I'm just like, life's too short. Like, why are we going to argue about the garbage?
Like, we know better. Like, we as a couple know that we're better than that. Are we really going to let that upset us and ruin our day or whatever it is? And it's like, no, that's not worth it.
Sure.
Let's just do whatever and move past this. I just think it's maturity so like for sure in the couple and as individuals.
For sure. And I think I've taught him to kind of like let things go like that. And then also I've also learned ways to hint, like to maybe speak to him or be like, hey, like, sorry I said that before, maybe it irritates him. Or I feel like you learn each other.
Yes.
If you're both willing to, you know, move in whatever direction, maybe that might work best for them. Maybe when I respond this way, I don't think it's rude, but like maybe he thinks it's rude. And if he thinks it's rude, then I shouldn't say it.
Very relatable, for sure. We learn
that. Yeah, and you learn that over time. So I think that like as time goes on, you just have to be like moldable to an extent. Not molding your personality, but like being able to adapt to like maybe they don't like
just we all have different love languages, which you learn as you get closer to anybody. You also have different communication styles. So just like that example of the tone that we speak to our husbands in, if we have something that we're like, I want to address this and I don't want it to come across snarky or attitude-y or whatever, or condescending. So then we know that style that works best for our relationship. And I think that just means that's a sign of maturity and health and growth. Just like we wouldn't have known that when we were dating in our 20s, like when we're 19 or whatever, and we're like, eh, why'd you do that? And it's just different. Like we know better than that now.
For sure. And they're always like, never say you, like when you're talking to. And back in the day, you're like, and you.
Yeah. But actually this behavior makes me feel that I don't quite understand what you.
It's so hard. I think about it all the time. Because I think that maybe one of the things Alvaro, like, I don't think it's just me, maybe struggles with is feeling attacked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like I could trigger it if I'm just like, and you.
I mean, anybody would, right? Like, even our kids. If we say, you keep leaving your shoes by the front door, then they're going to be like, eh, mom. Like, that's naturally our instinct is to be like, like, you're attacking me and I don't like it and I'm going to shut down.
Yeah. So do we think that this talk, how people represent marriage and people represent, like, having kids. I think kids are the big one, by the way. Is this why the newer generations or people younger than us are like getting married so old or not getting married at all? Or they say that, let me pull up the statistics, by the way, a screenshot of them. So they say that pretty much baby boomers, Gen X and millennials are all in the same range in the 70s percentile that they dated during high school, like their teenage years. And only 56% of Gen Z have dated during their teens.
Wow.
So meaning all the way up to the age of 19.
That's crazy.
Like they've never dated somebody. Yeah.
So do we think that the title of marriage is hard is kind of to blame for some of these statistics?
Like do we think – so I think it's to blame for millennials.
Yeah.
And not just from us, like from Gen Xers, baby boomers thing. Like marriage is hard. I think that we have looked at it as like a negative instead of because like now people are like, I want my career. I want to do all this stuff. I want to be successful before I get married.
Yeah, because marriage is
and
now
in my
a job.
Head, I'm like,
it's on a list.
In my head, it's a beautiful thing to build that together.
Yeah. Navigate your life like, why also are we, with a partner. Let this partner be by
like,
your side.
Why are we doing this by ourselves?
Yeah.
Why do you have to establish your career by yourself? Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
I agree.
To me. And I think that, like, not that there's plenty of marriages that they're married young that obviously divorce, but I think that when you are, if you marry the right person, obviously, this is what I'm saying, is if you marry young, you grow together. Yeah. But when you get married older, you're established in your ways. And then you come together and you're like, I'm not doing
that. They have their own lives. Just like when you see, what's that show that we like? The Married at First Sight. They're almost always a little bit older. Some of them. Some are still, they catch them when they're young. But some of them are on there in their 30s. And they have their jobs, 35. Their first mortgage. They have a dog. And then they try to bring their lives together. And they're almost so much in their ways that they end up saying no at the altar because of that.
Yeah, they look at each other like an alien.
Yeah, and they're like, no. They're like, ew, I'm not going to do that. Those dishes? I don't think your couch will ever fit in my house. And, like, they're finding reasons to, like, not make it work. Like, oh, you go out on the weekends and spend your money on shoes? I save my money from my hardworking job. And they, like, conflict. And they're like, I can't do it. And I'm like, had you guys done that maybe 15, 10, 5 years ago, you probably would have been able to sort
this out. Built your money together.
Yeah, you would have sorted it out. You would have been like, hey, I'd love for us to prioritize shoe allowance plus the savings allowance because we're two different people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the problem with millennials. I think it's the negative talk, kind of the thinking that they can't be the successful person if they're married, which I don't understand that. Because, like, doesn't that help you?
Yeah.
I saw something recently that was like, tell me how many millionaires you see that are single that don't do it with a spouse.
Interesting. Yeah.
You're working hard. Yeah. Maybe you've quit your job so you can make your own business, but he's keeping down the fort for you. You're out working and doing all those things and working late night.
Yeah. And you always see interviews and stuff too where people are like, I want to share my life with someone. They've made these millions for them. Like someone who has gotten successful in life and done all the little bullet points that they've wanted. And then they're like, I want someone to share this with. And they almost kick themselves for like having put that as a last like item on their checklist.
And then now they're alone.
Yeah, and now they're alone and they don't get to share this beautiful life that they've created and worked so hard for with anybody because they made that less of a priority. So I think that says a lot. Oh, what a shame. For sure. You guys go out there and find love. Share this beautiful life with somebody. It's awesome.
Yeah. So do you think that's the same case for Gen Z? Because I don't think
I don't think so. Like why they're not dating, like why that statistic was so low compared to all the other groups.
Yeah, I think it has.
Yeah.
Right. I think it just has to do with they're not going out. They're just on social media. They're gaming. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, to an extent, it's a good thing, right? So maybe it's good that less people are having the 16-year-old boyfriend because realistically, most people don't marry their 16-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, there's nothing per se wrong about it. Obviously, it gives you some like insight to like maybe what you want or how you react in relationships.
That's typically not the person that they're walking down the aisle with.
Yeah. So that's not a big deal. But the problem is I just don't think they're like, they're not doing
So like even what you just said, right? Where it's like, okay, you're not dating as a 16-year-old, but they're also still not dating as 18-year-olds. We're not even gently pausing and then doing it later. They're entirely just not leaving their houses. They're not getting, like we've talked about before, they're not getting their driver's license. So therefore they're never going to get, they're not going to go out of their way to date. Like that's an additional chore. Like,
I think I saw, I'm trying to look at what this, so 75% of Gen Z right now is still single.
Wow. I'm wondering, like, are they happy? Like, I want to know, now I want to talk to a Gen Zer and be like,
what's
are
the
you
youngest
guys content?
Gen Z? 14, 15, so still it's kind of in dating age.
Yeah, so they should, they'll have an interest. I think that's the age where you start to gain an interest. Where it's like, ooh, like I have my individuality, but I'm also interested in dating and it'd be fun to have a boyfriend to talk on the phone with. I feel like that's the age where that kind of can definitely establish.
But it's gone down because what's the youngest millennial? Millennials, what, the youngest millennial is like 28?
Okay, so the
only 44% of millennials are married.
40?
4%.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that is a small.
So that's low.
Yeah, that is for what I think. I think that's low.
Yeah, because I feel like when you're creeping up to your 30s, that's only part of millennials, right?
Of course.
Like, you know, that 28, 30. And even then, both of us were already
married. Yeah. And I think of, you know, just think of like our immediate networks, right? Like our friends and family. Like generally, I can think already that the majority of them are in established marriages. And maybe even having kids. Like, they're all in this kind of chapter of life. So that's why I think that stat's
all
so
the big
low.
Cities.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, all of those 56% are all, like, in, like, major cities. Yeah. Like, New York, you know, LA, Miami. Yeah.
Or the, like, what was it? The Love is Blind. Then they always pick these major cities to film in. And then they find all these millennials who are not in serious relationships.
Yeah, all the quality people they find.
I mean, we love the show.
So terrible.
We love the show. We don't want to be on it, but we love the show. It's fun.
The problem is once you start getting maybe first or second seasons, I'm not going to say it's legit, but like people didn't know how the process worked. They had never seen the show, all that kind of stuff. Now they're so into it that now it's people want to be on the show.
And now you almost have
and if you
like,
want to be on the show,
research to make sure that they haven't already been like texting with their like boyfriend on the outside.
And they're
clout.
Not crazy.
Yeah. And all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, dang, they fooled us.
That's another thing. Like establish yourself as like this like, you know, businesswoman that makes a ton of money. Maybe then you date and you're like, maybe they will send me a little money.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
That's hard.
Like,
I get that.
That's hard. I don't know. I just would, I would like to build an empire with somebody, not just like by myself.
I want to do stuff with somebody. Like,
and then you, how do you plop them in?
Yeah. No, I mean, and I don't know if I've seen it successfully done, like plopping somebody into my life, just like all these dating shows we've seen. Like, it's not often that they're successful at plopping another person into their already established life. Yeah. So I think it's tricky. And I think that says a lot for those percentages. And then the younger generation, I just think that they, if they're not doing anything, they're not dating. Therefore, they're not getting married.
Yeah. So what is their average marriage age going to be?
It's got to be later, right?
50.
So we millennials, we have a lot of stuff that helped us to date.
Oh, yeah.
We started getting younger, right? We're a wide range, I think, because we can date young. And then we also, because we were driving, we had jobs. Like, so it made sense if we wanted to date and get married. Then we also could be older, because then you had the group that, you know, with technology, we had a lot of women stepping out into the workforce. So now they weren't marrying and having kids. They were going off and getting their master's degrees and like getting big girl jobs. So we have a wide range.
We all went to school. What a scam.
But the millennials have a wide range. We don't have like a...
We do.
Everyone got married at 23 because I think we had an industrial shift like that took over for us. But I don't know what that's going to look like for Gen Z, because what's theirs? Just social media, smartphones. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, now we're not going to get married until we're 32 because...
I don't know. And they only want big jobs.
Yeah. No, they do. They... Where are our teenagers working at? Like McDonald's and American Eagle for $5. Like where?
Dairy Queen.
Like they don't want it. They don't want those jobs.
No.
I'm just like, what? So now we're going to lose all these things because our generations, we're moving up, right? We're no longer working that job. We did that when we were in high school and college.
Yeah.
And
like
we're
gone
now.
30-year-old's not going to make, you know, $8 or
$9. We've already
now.
Moved on like, in our lives. We've worked our way up. We're like the managers now at these businesses, or we're doing different things. So now this new group of people who is graduating high school, they're the ones who are supposed to be at the mall, at the restaurants, starting out just like we did, but they don't want it. So I'm like, what's going to happen?
And then when you do see them, they have the dumb headphones on, like in, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like I went into PacSun recently and like the guy had the headphones on. I was like,
You're like, I don't want to interrupt you, but I need a fitting room. But you look busy.
Yeah. Like, what is that? Like, so it's like when they do work it, they're just like, it reminds me of like Zootopia, the sloths.
Yeah.
Where they're just no.
Like, no awareness.
He's like, oh, you need help?
That's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here. Hi, that's why you're here.
Yeah, you're getting paid to help me, but that's okay. I'm sorry for inconveniencing you. Yeah, so I'm really curious to kind of see how it rolls out, because we're about to see them. They're now turning into our mini adults, and we're going to see what they do in the next 5 years and what that looks like.
I always laugh at all the like Gen Z. Have you seen those like Gen Z reels of like their doctors? Like they're the doctor, like how they talk and stuff.
No, I saw one where it was like talking about customer service, like when we call customer service, and right now it's all us and older, right? Like we don't have like a 19-year-old in this generation who's like answering the phone for us yet. Like they're not there yet. So I'm just like,
like a hostess or something.
So we're about to get that group though. They're about to step out and start hopefully getting these like customer service jobs where they're just like, what do you need? Like, couldn't you just do this yourself online?
No, so this is an example of their age group. I called, he had to be like, I want to say like 18 or 19. I called Outback, and you know how Outback does like a call ahead seating? Like they don't do reservations, but you're like, hey, I'm on my way.
To put yourself on the list already.
So I was like, hi, I'm calling ahead. You can even do it online, but you can't do it for 8. And we had 8. So I was like, hi, I'm just calling ahead for 8 of us. We'll be there in about like 15, 20 minutes. And he's like, call ahead. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just calling ahead. He's like, look, a reservation. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
no, I'm just calling ahead, but like, sure, here I give you a reservation. Like, I'm just thinking about them.
Like,
sure.
Whatever I can do, give it to me. Like,
yeah. And he's just like that. So like a reservation. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, how many people is it? I'm like, eight. And he's like, okay, do you think like you'll be here like eight? Like, what time do you think you'll be here? And I was like, yeah, eight. And he's like, okay.
He's literally then, like looking on the podium, up. Like what he's supposed to do.
No, then it just hangs up. And then I'm like, okay. So I call back and I was like, hi. And he's like, hi. And I was like, I was just talking to you, but the phone dropped. And he's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, Heather, the party for eight. Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
So like we sat somebody, but it'll only be a few minutes after. Okay. Does that work for you? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, let me just, just like, what?
Yeah.
What? I told Alvaro, I can literally, I don't even need to see this guy. I know what he looks like. He had the like broccoli haircut. Yeah.
Yep. And he has his phone here. He's distracted by his phone.
and sure enough, like we walk in and Alvaro's like, that's the guy. And I was like, 100%.
That's so wild.
Like without a doubt.
Oh man. Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is the future of our conspiracy.
No, I already can tell. Like, that's why I want to like be so on top of our kids, because I can tell when they say certain things. I'm like, that is you. Like, you are going to be like standing there being like at Chick-fil-A or, you know, like you just mentioned Outback Steakhouse. And it's like, okay, you're a busboy, so you still have to like, you know, move out of the way for a customer. And they probably just be like, ugh. Like, and I just like, I can already recognize it. And I'm like, we need to get on top of this. Like, so you're not that type of like teenager.
When they do feel like somebody asks them a question and they're just like in their like, dead in their trucks, like, and you're like, speak. Yeah.
It's okay.
Like, you tell me what to drink.
We all do this. Like, it's okay. Like, it's normal. We don't do this online. So, like, no, we cannot order your drink online. You have to tell it to their face.
So annoying when they do so, or they'll know what they like. They want, like, they're like, I want the grilled cheese, and then the person comes and like, what would you like? And they're like,
like, we practiced the menu, like, this. Like, we already did this. Like, look at the menu. We did this. We worked for this.
Like, it's like they almost like just panic.
But I think our kids are still a little young too. So I think that's also a little bit to do with it. But I just want to be, because I see how now that I'm an adult, I see the other generations doing stuff and I'm like, ooh, okay. We're going to be on top of this. We got this.
I'm already prepping, Ryan. And I'm like, in 2 years, we're applying to public. Like, that's it. Like, because it's good, because Publix is really good.
They're a really good company.
So they'll hire you at 14, and they're really good about like only working you when you're that young for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So like, it's not like I'm over here like, you know, like child labor, you know, like where I'm like, my kid needs to go make money.
No, that's how it was at the mall. I don't know if you had new friends back in the day who worked at the mall. They had to leave before like 8 p.m. or whatever like the curfew was for their age. So like anyone who was a closing manager had to have been over the age of like 15 or 16, because they weren't allowed to just be walking around, you know, for safety and how many hours they were allowed to work. And I was like, they were so on top of that, because our group of teenagers, like us, we were working at that age. Like, we were walking around with our little paperwork, like, I'm 15. I can only work for 3 hours. But we were there. We were, what job is going to hire me?
I'm going to do it. Because they only do weekends and for like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
That's amazing.
I'm like, that's such good social skills.
And
like,
you make some money.
Like, you better believe I'm going to stick him out there on a Saturday. Like, no. Yeah.
That'll be great.
So he, in 2 years, he only has got
that's
2 years.
That's crazy.
So.
It's crazy to think. Like, I know. Yeah. His little baby's growing up.
I'm going
to
be like, you better represent me well.
Don't embarrass me.
You go in Publix. You go in Publix and be like, are you a good worker? Because I'm not going to clean you as my.
I don't know that kid.
Oh my God, that's my son. Yeah. Does he do okay? And they're like, he's literally the worst inside. He doesn't even talk to the customer.
No, I'm sure he'll be fine. Yeah. That's super cute though.
I know. It's scary how close we're getting to like that driving age. And they're going to be driving like.
And it's crazy because I think our kids, they show an interest in that, at least how they talk, where they're like,
mine for
I'd
sure
love
has.
To get a driver's license. I'd love to get a car. I want to have a job. And I'm wondering, is it just going to switch off? Like when they're 15, are they all of a sudden just going to be like how teenagers are today, where they're like, nah, I'd rather just stay home. I don't need to go out.
No.
Does that just turn off?
I think
off?
We're doing better.
Or will
I
they
think
keep
we
it?
Are doing better. I think we're doing better with recognizing the current things that are going on. And we're like, we need to change this. We cannot let our kid not be able to make a doctor's appointment or like not want to drive or not want to work. I think we're recognizing that. and I hope there's going to be a shift.
I mean, even just like the example, I mean, we talked about it in a previous episode with the book, The Anxious Generation. And I think even stuff like that, where, you know, a sociologist is recognizing that shift, other parents are then also recognizing that. So we're not the only ones. It's not wild or unorthodox for us to be thinking that, like, hey, like, we're not liking the vibe of how the current generation, maybe like their lack of desire to go,
the or
like, their drive, like it's really low. So what can we do to make it a little bit easier for our kids?
And a lot of times it's, I think, not all, I think they're kind of more headed in that direction anyways, but a lot of them right now that are 19, 20, like my brother, their freshman year was COVID.
Yeah.
So it really, like, in their formative years of like socialization and all that kind of stuff really took a turn when they like were forced to only move from their bed to their bed.
They did school online. They did socializing online.
They didn't have to get dressed. They didn't have to, they could literally sit in their, they could wake up and just sit in the same spot and open their computer and attend school. So I think the lack of drive came from that.
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm sure that hit a lot of kids.
You know, time frame in life. So it's not fully, however a kid grows up, right? Like, and who they end up being. Yes, you can change that as an adult when you become aware of it. But a lot of times people don't realize, they don't know any better.
Yeah.
Like, they were raised like that. Like, they were allowed to do that. Or anytime, you know, Ryan says something about maybe somebody has clashed something, I'm like, Ryan, you have to understand that these people are the product of their environment.
Yes.
Like, this is not this kid's fault.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't know, like, any different.
Is,
like, Rylan could even say that.
This is what he's allowed at
home. And then they'd have no idea.
Yeah. Like, one of his kids, he's like, yeah, he has a lot of stepdads. I'm like,
yeah. That's not the kid. So the kid doesn't even probably think anything of that. Like,
he's not any better. He's always been in that. That's what he's used to. That's what he's. So I'm just like, I tell Ryan, you have to give people like that grace and know that, like, they are like that because of their health.
No, and that's sad. Yeah, that's definitely more challenging for sure. And you're right that we can't pass the blame of why Gen Z is the way that they are today entirely. It's not them. Like, it's like I was going to say it's there's a lot of factors, right? We could break this down a lot.
Yeah.
COVID is huge because it totally cramped all of that. Like, you know, working,
socializing,
school. It really, any of the teenagers, the preteens, the teenagers, and then like that whole group, it just messed it all up for them. And then also just technology itself too. It made life so much easier that they really didn't even need to go do anything. Like, they could do research papers in their own house. They can socialize with their friends.
And they grew up in the Uber Eats era.
Yeah, Uber Eats, playing video games with each other all online. So just everything just really kind of like set them up that they don't even realize that this is a problem. They think this is like, great, it's convenient. Why would I need to put clothes on and go out when I can do all of that from the comfort of my own home? So it's like, we really just set them up for this type of lifestyle. And I think this current generation, we're seeing that because we didn't have it.
Sees that.
Yeah. And we're using that as like information.
And we're like, maybe you don't give a kid a phone at 9.
Yeah. So instead of Uber Eats every day, we actually physically can go to a restaurant. Did you guys know that you can physically go? You have to put clothes on.
There and you have to order on a screen. You're like, hey. So when you go to a fast food place, do you choose to order on a screen or with a person?
I go wherever the line is the shortest. But I'm also not inconvenienced by going to talk to a person. Like, I will talk to a person.
Oh, I will wait. If the line's a little bit longer for the person than the screen, I will wait in the line.
I would talk to the person. Yeah. Like,
it just takes so much.
No, that screen's awful.
You go in
awful.
And they're like, do you want this? Do you want? Like, it's just like, no. And it's like, it two times the size of you and you're like,
no, it is. Yeah. And it makes you click on everything compared to them just hitting their like one like happy meal button. So it is way more inconvenient for sure. Like,
I don't like it. Like, there was this, when we went to Orlando, we did the service plazas and we got off and we were waiting in Dunkin' Donuts. And there's this long line to talk to somebody. And then they also have this screen off to the side, but like at the front of the line. And, like, no one except for one person used it because everyone's like, nah.
Yeah, we all know.
I'm not ordering it.
Yeah.
Because it's always like, I hate when it asks that. I actually told this to Alvaro the other day. I was like, I feel like a kid still when I go to a coffee shop. I don't know what I'm ordering. Yeah. Like, every time I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I'll get the, you know, whatever, blah, 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 latte. I'm like, does that have sugar? Is it sweet?
Yeah,
or, like, do I need to add a syrup in it? And they're like, well, it's kind of, and you're like, so do I add a syrup or is it sweet?
Yeah.
What are we, And then they're like, it depends how sweet you like it. And you're like,
oh. Yeah, and then they tell you like, oh, it's two like, pumps of this, and we actually do a spoonful of this. And then you're like, I would have never like, known that if I did the mobile or like the screen situation, because it wouldn't tell you that.
Yeah, but how are people so well-versed where they're like, no, that has enough sugar. You don't need to get the pump.
Yeah.
Or like, no, you get a pump of this. I'm so clueless when I go to a coffee place. I'm like, sometimes I wing it and I'm like, one pump of vanilla.
Yeah.
And then I get it and I'm like, dang it, it already has sugar. And then there's other times I'm like, oh, it probably has sugar in it. I'm just not going to get anything. And then I get it and there's like not 1 ounce of sugar in it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's just sour coffee.
I tell Alvaro, I was like, I feel the same way. Like, I never know what to order. Yeah. So I'm always like, American coffee, two creams, two sugars. Like, that's what he says. But I'm like, no, I want something like
a nicer. Treat. I can make that at home. Exactly. I do the same thing where I'm like, what can I not do at my house? And I want that at the cafe.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So I still feel like a child. I'm like,
I think that's
is
normal.
That sweet? Does this have sugar?
Especially when you're not going to like a big box, like a Dunkin' or a Starbucks, where you kind of can see what's going on there.
No, even those, I'm like a kid. I don't.
Because I feel like the app is really good for that. So if you click on any of the drinks, it'll tell you exactly how much they put into it to make like the latte.
Starbucks does Dunkin' though. I found out I like the Dunkin' latte.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's called the Dunkin' Donuts. And when I first got it, I asked for a pump with milk. I was like, whoa, this is sick.
Yeah.
It has sugar in it for sure. So then I ordered again and it was perfect. Okay. But then when you order online, it shows no sugar.
Oh, interesting.
So then I was like,
because I know they have like an option to do the, because you can change, because some people have like a dairy allergy or whatever where they want to substitute something. So I know if you do it in the app, it'll let you do a drop down and then you can substitute. It'll say like full fat milk and then sub out soy or whatever the thing is. So that's what I'm trying to think, like, would it show you the sugars and maybe all the other stuff?
I didn't see,
especially because that's already like one that they have on their menu. Like, that's not you creating it. It's already one that they have. So I wonder if that's why it doesn't show all this stuff. Yeah.
Still an infant when it comes to that. You get there and you're like looking at them like,
is that good? Should I order that?
Because sometimes I might order. Now I found out, by the way, one time I ordered in the app at Starbucks and I realized that the coffee I get has three pumps of white chocolate mocha.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, it's a little bit sweet. So now I order it as two pumps only.
Yep.
But when I want to stray from that, I'm like,
Wait, I'm going to mess it up.
What am I getting? And then, sometimes you immediately see it and you're like, oh, there's not enough milk in there. It's going to be like bitter.
Yes. No, I think a lot of people, you see that all the time when there's like a social media video and someone's like, as soon as you get that cup and it's like light brown, like more milky than it is brown. And they're just like, it's wrong. I already know it.
It's. Or like, it looks like there's no coffee and you're like, I messed up.
It's not going to be good. This is iced milk with a splash of something coffee.
Yeah. That's the worst, by the way.
Because then you paid for that. Now it's like $7 for
really
that.
And milky, but there's no coffee. No,
it's not good. No one likes that.
Which I'm stuck to my little, like, La Colombe has like the cans of coffee, which now I just order those online. And that's like my afternoon
coffee.
Perfect.
They have
mocha vanilla and like triple latte. They're both good. They're all good. And that's like my go-to now. It's cheaper and I just go... So easy. So, but there's a lot of those, Starbucks orders every day, which costs a fortune.
Yep.
I just do it occasionally, so I'm not a pro yet.
No, I know what I want and I stick with it and I don't veer off too far from it, only because I know it's also, this is going to sound just silly of me, but they put so much crap in like these, when you order something that's too frou-frou, like when all of a sudden it's like gingerbread, sprinkle, sugar, cookie, hazelnut, chocolate latte. And I'm just like, that's already 25 million ingredients that are not coffee. Like, so how much coffee is truly, is this even coffee anymore? Or is this just hot milk? Yeah. So that's why I'm like, okay, let me just like keep it like a little bit simpler, but like maybe just like a pumpkin spice latte where it's just that pump of syrup on top of a coffee. And not all the other crazy things that are going on.
Are you a basic bitch with the pumpkin spice
latte? That's like probably my least favorite latte flavor. But the one thing that I do like is the pumpkin spice cold foam, like the sweet cream, whatever they put on the cold brew. That one is good because it's almost subtle. Because then you get your cold brew coffee, but with a subtle treat on the top that kind of like melts into it.
The pumpkin. I prefer the pumpkin spice cold brew too.
I don't know what it is, but the latte is too much. It's too much. It's not my favorite already. Like, I'm not a pumpkin spice.
And then you
person.
Get to the bottom, and it's like that. Like,
yeah, it's just straight syrup and like the spice. And I'm just like, oh, that's not it. Like, I can do all the other ones. Like when they have like a hazelnut latte
and
stuff.
Don't get me wrong. I think I would just need to do one less.
I think so too. Yep. Same. The cold brew is chef's kiss though, because I can't make that myself. So that one, when it has that like pumpkin spice sweet cream on the top, I'm like, this is it. This is my fall beverage.
It's not super sweet either.
And you still get your coffee.
Catch us in September. Yes. With our cold
we got
drip.
Your Starbucks.
Well, thanks for chatting.
It's always so fun catching up and chatting. But as always,
we got a little diverted. Yes,
but that's okay.
We weren't planned for today because we had a surprise today, but a change of plans.
But that's okay.
So we'll have it next week.
But please go ahead and subscribe, share with your friends. Check us out on TikTok as well as Instagram and YouTube if you haven't already, so you don't miss out on all the fun, because you can actually watch our episodes on YouTube and Spotify. So if you guys want to see the chaos that happens on screen, you can go ahead and check it out.
See our faces, our lovely faces. Well, we hope you guys have a great rest of the week.
Alrighty. Bye.